Great. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2? And we're going to read that first passage of scripture together. 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone. Everybody say living stone. Rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Everybody say spiritual house. Living stones being built into a spiritual house. To be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is such a rich passage of scripture. Have you ever considered and thought and really given it much thought that when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, when you choose to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, you become part of the creator of this universe, you become part of God's great master plan that he has to establish his church here on this earth. Have you ever thought of it that way? You have never just come to faith in Jesus Christ simply for yourself. Yes, your salvation is secure. Yes, you have a relationship with Jesus. But our life with God and our relationship with God goes beyond just our self-centered seeking of meeting our needs exclusively, but knowing that as much as God has extended grace and salvation to each one of us, that he has a much bigger plan for us. That we don't work in isolation as little bits and little pieces that can go off and do what we like, but in relationship with God the Creator, God brings us and places us living stones in his living church, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, the writer here in the book of Peter is using the metaphor of building and of buildings. And he talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. And we looked at that in my very first message, how our lives need to be aligned and based on Jesus. And when Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives, then every other aspect of our life takes its alignment from him. Now, what does it mean to make Jesus the cornerstone of your life? It's a metaphor again. It doesn't mean to say that you're standing on some piece of rock headed in the right direction, but it means that everything that represents who Jesus is, his will, his ways, his character, his word, all of those things become part of who you are. You now, as a believer of Jesus Christ, you now, as a follower of Jesus, imbibe and absorb his character, his nature, and the very person that he is Through the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have the fruit of the Spirit that is continually being developed in our lives. And so when I make Jesus the cornerstone of my life, there is a transformation that begins in my life. And that is something that it doesn't happen without your permission. It is something that doesn't happen against your will. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, once you've acknowledged Him as your Lord and Savior and you choose to follow Him, you begin a journey, a lifelong journey that takes you right into eternity, but also a life of transformation here on earth. And it is sad to see that so often leadership has not focused on helping people to come to understand the transforming work of the gospel. The transformation stops simply at me achieving salvation. I once was lost, but now I am found. I once was in darkness, but now I am in the light. And that is the beginning of our journey. But going beyond that is a transformation of our person, the transformation of our minds and our attitudes and the very being of who we are. It is not who we are today, but it is what God has created us to be in the image of Jesus Christ, to become more and more like Him. And so it is in this context that the writer is saying, if Jesus Christ is the cornerstone that was rejected by others and you have accepted Him, now you are part of God's great master plan to build an amazing structure, as it were. The word here we're talking about, the metaphor is of a building, therefore we use the structure of a building. But elsewhere the Bible uses the picture of a body, that we are a body of people that have come together. And together we become the body of Christ. And so God calls us to come together. And as living stones, God positions us and He purposes us. What does He do? He positions you and then He purposes you. What does He do? He positions you and it is for a purpose. We somehow have, with the culture of today, have become what I consider, and most leaders would consider, to be consumer Christians. Wherever we think the juice is sweeter, like little bees to nectar, we flap away somewhere else. But the true test of believers and followers of Jesus Christ is a disciplined life of discipleship, where God has placed you somewhere to be rooted and grounded in the fellowship of the believers. And it is being in that rooted and groundedness that you grow and develop. So I encourage you to know that God has positioned you here. And in positioning you here, He will do the work that He needs to do in and through you. And we as leaders of this church are very mindful of the responsibility that we have to encourage you, to nurture you, to enable you, to empower you, to find not just your position, but also to fulfill your purpose. So as you can live a fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. That means that your life will have hard times. It means that your life will have good times. It means there will be times you will feel like you're at rock bottom. There will be times where you feel like, wow, everything is going so well. But through it all, you push through. And through the fellowship of the believers and through the guidance of good, godly leadership, you achieve the purpose for which God has positioned you here. One of the greatest evangelists that is known to our generation, Billy Graham. Now you would think somebody like him would have probably gone to a church that was big and massive and thousands of people. He went to a small local church in the town where he lived. And he was faithful and he served. But he also knew that there was a greater call upon his life. And the leadership, I'm sure, I'm not sure of the details of the story, but I'm certain the leadership of that church perhaps knew the call of God upon his life and would have encouraged him to pursue whatever God had called him to do. And that man became a great influence and still is a great influence in our generation. Never despise the days of small beginnings, because everything begins small. I remember when I was in New Life Church and I got saved. I was the first 100 when they began to believe God to take the city. The first 100 that got baptized that year. I remember the baptism pool with the twigs and the leaves and who knows what else, black ants all over the place, you know, floating around, swimming down at Nagpada, downstairs in the local compound of where the church used to meet. I got baptized there. It wasn't the finest baptism pool. There was no lights or razzmatazz, but I knew I had to obey God. I knew I had come into faith with Jesus Christ, that I had recommitted my life to God and I was going to follow him full on. And I remember being baptized, Ivan, and I think it was your dad that baptized me at that time. And I remember the joy of just simply obeying God. And then from then on, my life was committed to serving and being part of the body of Christ, because God had positioned me there. And there were times it was difficult. There were times it was awkward. But I knew God had called me and positioned me. And in staying there amongst the fellowship of the believers and getting stuck and doing whatever was necessary, I began to grow. God put people alongside me. Relationships, friendships to this day that we have. People like Ashish that I've known since that time, that we as a couple know, as a family know. Other people that came alongside me and helped me to become who I am today. Amen. I became a living stone. I was once in darkness, but then Jesus found me. But that is not where it stopped. I had to make choices. I had to make decisions that would say, God, I'm going to make you the priority in my life. I remember examination times. There was never an exam that I missed, and there was never a Sunday that I missed. No matter final exams, greater final exams, whatever exam, I was in church. Because you know what? You did everything else in the week. Why is it when it comes to Sunday, everybody wants to sit at home to prepare a little harder for their exams? What were you doing the whole of the year? It's these little things that build discipline, that build character in our lives. And I don't believe in teaching those things from a place of legalism, but I believe in teaching those things from a place of discipleship, where that consistency and commitment develops something in you that goes beyond what anybody else can develop in you. The church is a great place. A good church like Life is a great place for you to grow in every way, to grow into the fullness of what God has called you to be. But God has called you to be a living stone. And he places you in this part of life here. And we are part of the great master plan of this small city of Andheri, and the greater master plan of this city, Mumbai, and of the state, and of India, and the world. We do not work in isolation. Yes, we do not work in competition, but we work together for what we have been called to do, to achieve the purposes of God in our life. So I want to ask you, as a committed member, as a committed person here at Life, what is your connectivity? How are you connecting as a living stone in the body of Christ? Think about that. There are opportunities beyond your imagination here. Our vision, even though we are a growing church, our vision is vast. Our reach is growing month by month, year by year. We have a great vision to see things established in this city. And we know, Naomi and I, we cannot do it by ourselves. We know that we have been called to lead and set something up to establish things for God's glory, but God will bring people alongside us. Amen. God has positioned you here for great things. God has positioned you here because he has something that he needs to achieve. It's not about building in and Naomi's ministry, or the ministry of life, or the ministry of the trust. It is about, we've got to give everything a name, so you have to give it a name. But ultimately, it is all for the glory of God. It is to establish His presence. It is to reach out to the lost. And so I want you to understand, as a living stone, that you are not just some fatra. You are not just some stone picked up from the wayside and dumped somewhere to build a building for Jesus Christ. You are a precious stone, the Bible says. Amen? Turn around to your neighbor and say, you are a precious stone. You are God's special possession. God reached out to you whenever it is that you were young. I was 9 or 10 when I came to an understanding of what it meant to be forgiven for my sin and to accept Jesus Christ. And in my early teens, I recommitted my life to God. But whenever it was that you came to that realization that God reached out to you in your sin and He picked you up and He said, here's Gwen, here's Robert, here's Ronald, here's Elmer. These are people. And it's not just, oh, I'm going to save them so they get to heaven. But before they get to heaven, my God, there is a master plan that I have to position them and to place them somewhere in the body of Christ to become great men and women of God who will establish the purposes and the plans of God for His glory. Amen? So you are positioned with purpose. Now, yes, some of us are on journeys. Some of us don't quite realize that we're positioned, but we just take up a seat every Sunday morning. That's a starting point. That's just what I say to you. Invite people. Let them come and discover God's plan. But that is your starting point. Some people will come, just sit on a seat and go. They'll come and go. But that's our responsibility as the body of Christ, as the leadership, to come alongside, to nurture, encourage people to get connected and to be established. To be discipled, that is our responsibility to do that, and we do that consistently. And see people established in the place and the purpose that God has for them. Just this week I was speaking at Dubai City Church and I talked about dreams. And I talked about how every individual, God has placed a divine dream in every one of you. And you need to find that dream. That dream is not out there, it is within you. It is what you have been called and purposed to do. Now, all of us have a primary calling, which is to reach the lost, to look for the lost and the lonely, to reach out to them and to bring and help them to find faith in Jesus Christ. But that is our primary calling, whatever your age, whoever you are in your walk or relationship with God. But what is called is our secondary calling of why are we here on earth? In establishing His kingdom, but also in our everyday life with our gifts and our talents as living stones. How does God want to use me to be connected, to grow, and to develop? So the Bible says that you are a precious, what is it? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are a special, precious stone to God. And when He positions you, He purposes you to achieve great things. You can never achieve the things that God has for you in isolation. Many of us believe God has called me, I'm going to get out and do what I need to do. God places you in relationship. You need to find those godly relationships, stay committed to them, and grow together. We are who we are today because of the people that have influenced our lives. Firstly, here in the city of Mumbai, in the church we were in New Life, in the mid 80s. Then when God took us to London, we were in a local Baptist church. And we were committed and did whatever we could to serve lovingly and joyfully for a number of years, till God very clearly spoke to us and moved us to Kensington Temple, where we spent the next 17 years serving, just doing whatever is necessary. And as we were faithful, in our place of work, we worked full-time, we served full-time. We worked jobs. I worked two jobs for a while because we needed to. But there was never a time that we didn't have to serve the people of God, to be a blessing to somebody, to be a blessing to the church or to whatever God was doing. If it was evangelism, if it was worship, whatever our gifting, whatever our talents were, we wanted to use them because we wanted to be living stones in the body of Christ. Some people are stones on strike. Some people are stones that are hidden away. They're hiding from the call and purposes of God for whatever reason. And some people are just silent stones. It's our job to reach out to these people, whatever it is, and to encourage them to believe that God has purpose for them. Remember, there's another picture that he gives here of calling us, that we are a chosen people and a royal priesthood. So we're not just stones that are priceless, but we are precious. And there is a great worth that God places on you and me. A great price that Jesus paid to redeem us. Firstly, he says that you are chosen. You are royal. Each one of us is a priest as unto God. And talks about us being a holy nation. God's special possession. I love this line. You are God's special possession. Isn't that amazing? God is possessive about you. He has a sense of ownership on you. Where he says, Ronak, you're special. Gwen, you're special to me. You're mine. No one else can have you. No one else can disturb the plans and purposes that I have for you. Work with me, surrender to me, and come through and see what God can do in and through you. Now, what is the purpose for all of this? Is that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Each one of us have come from a place of darkness. We now stand in a place of light. And I want each one of us to understand, as we stand in the place of light, declaring the praises doesn't mean to sing that we go around singing Hosanna all day. You know, yes, that is one way to declare God's praises. That's at times of worship with music. But it's being light in places of darkness and saying, look what God has done for me. Look at how he has transformed my life. Look at the light that I have shining in my life. The same can be for you. Declare what God has done for you. Don't be hesitant to tell other people of how good God has been to you. Don't be afraid when people say to you, what do you do on a Sunday? Oh, I just hang out. Hey, on Sunday mornings I go to church. We have a great time together. Maybe you should come one Sunday. And the first thing, that's not my kind of thing. You're having coffee with them 2 weeks later. You know, on Sunday, we learned this. It's amazing. We did this on Saturday with this crazy thing. Maybe you should come one Sunday. Maybe you should come. Pray for them. Eventually, you will find that person. Hey, can I come with you one Sunday? Can I come? Is that okay? Before you know it, they're committing their life to Jesus Christ. Before you know it, they've been obeying the Lord in the waters of baptism. Before you know it, they're part of the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that how it began for you? Isn't that how you began your journey? Amen? Let's not forget how God worked in our lives. That is the same way that God will work in yours. God has placed you here. He has positioned you here. And I know as we continue to push through, that God has a great plan for each one of us. Together, he's got a great plan for us. And we're going to continue to grow and flourish. Amen? Can you believe that together? Amen? There's some new things that we're going to be rolling out in the months of July and August. And take us forward. We're going to establish some new groups. We're going to develop some new things. We've got a couple of things that I'm praying through. And once I've spoken to some key people here, and I'm confident that that is what God wants us to do. We're going to roll out some things here at Life, and we're going to see some things established that preparing us for the continued growth that God has. Amen. I've realized in all my years of pastoring churches and the journeys that you go through as a church, especially when you're establishing a church, is that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is His. The people belong to Jesus Christ. We are simply shepherds or stewards of His church, which is His people. And it's our responsibility as leaders is to encourage, to build, to disciple and nurture these people up and to send them out to become everything that God has called them to be. And that is what we will do for you here at Life. Amen. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever your age is, we will see you established and become great. So when you look back 20 years from now, you'll say, my God, I'm so glad that I was there, because the things that I learned, the way that I was encouraged to believe in myself and to become who God has called me to be, it is because I was faithful, because I was loyal, because I was committed, because I served, and out of that, God did something in me. Amen.